You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Aha. Well, now, Don.
This is an aphrodisiac, isn't it? A painkiller, the microphone for you. You've been screaming and caring about the pain of your ankle, and as soon as the microphone light comes on, your whole disposition changes. Why is that?
Well, Don, if I sit and scream about the pain of my ankle while the podcast's on, we may as well not do the podcast because you contribute absolutely nothing to it. You never introduce anything. Incidentally, we're not introducing this person now, but there's a man sitting beside you. You've got him in, and if you're as ill-prepared as you are for any other interview we do, it'll be interesting to see what you ask him because I have no idea really why he's here, but that will be just a little later on.
Well, this will put you in my, have a little bit of empathy for me, because in the past I have to fit in and flex myself around who you bring in. So you,
you've got
to get out your out of your comfort zone today. Anyway, I feel a little bit uncomfortable.
What?
I feel a bit uncomfortable.
Why? Because,
well, there's something going on. I feel a little bit like Lisa Wilkinson. Did you read her?
You feel like her?
Yes.
I won't
and
go
I,
near that,
I'm just trying to put
on.
Things together. Your mate in Sydney's come out and wants to be on the podcast, Ben Fordham.
The doctor?
Yes.
That's right, and he's come on because...
There's a conspiracy theory here.
I tell you what we're going to do. The Rocket, who, for want of a better word, was the third hand at this, although he never wanted to be on air or never wanted to have his photo taken. And
is he
then,
precious?
Then inadvertently...
I asked you a question.
Well, hang on, I'm getting to it. Inadvertently, I called him a panel operator, and that went over like a wrought iron hang glider, because when you run Fox Sports and you are the creme de la creme, he doesn't... And I said, well, I was only calling him a panel operator because you and I, Don, are so dumb. It was a backhanded compliment to him. So I tell you, so he is... then he got... discombobulated about the interview Well, he got the pissed off that I've got Nick Stevens in to interview him. And
yeah, we know all that. You're just going over old ground.
Well, so then in the Daily Mail,
what
you
I'm
know
on
that
about.
Paper that we sued and got action
against.
But
it was also in
because they only have a fleeting acquaintance with the truth. The Daily Mail and the. Prostitutes up there.
No, but it also appeared in the daily paper or the Sunday paper down here in Melbourne.
Well, it says a bitter feud has torn apart the podcast because the producer...
The executive producer.
Rodney Law, the
executive
producer.
I didn't know we had one.
We don't.
What is an
executive...
Tell me what an executive producer does.
This man who turns the panel on. And
No, hang on.
I'm not calling him a panel operator.
Well, I was just going to say there's two distinct jobs here. There's executive producer and panel operator.
Anyhow, he has left, and we're trying. I've got a feeling the reason he's not coming back is because of you. He doesn't like you.
Okay.
And I've got a feeling.
That's very unusual.
I tell you what,
I don't converse with him. You do all the
That's my point, Don. If you converse with someone who's meant to be the third hand at this...
Well, how can I argue with him if I don't talk to him?
So this is my point, Don. If we are trying to do a three-hander here, you, me and the Rocket, and you don't speak to him either on air or away from this socially, what chance do we have of trying to have a sort of a...
So where does Ben Fordham come to into this?
Ben is who
he's angling for my position, isn't he?
Ben oversees your mental capacity. Ben is worried about your mental...
Because I don't want to be like Lisa Wilkinson and walk down the supermarket aisle picking up a can of tuna. I get a phone call from you. Sorry, you're no longer wanted. This is how she was informed of her departure from Channel 9.
She was in a supermarket buying tuna.
She had a can of tuna doing a shopping, and she got a phone call on the mobile, and she was informed that her services were no longer required. And that article came out on Sunday, and Ben Fordham, and I started to put two and two together about how Ben Fordham, I think he's working behind the scenes. He's, he said he's mediating between you and Rod.
That's right.
And then he says he'd like to come on the podcast.
Well, he would have been
third man.
Yeah. Well, he can't. He would. We could speak to him down the line occasionally if he was could set aside some time for us because he's a very
is he busy?
Busy. He's busy as a one-armed paper hanger, Don. He's extremely busy.
What's he do?
What's he do? He's got the highest rating.
Well, why would he want to come on this shit show?
Shit show. Thank you, Don. He thought that he might give us a hand while the rocket was just deciding.
Working.
While he was.
Handle.
While the rocket was just considering his future and his options. I think the rocket. I'm going to get the rocket on the line in a minute, Don, and we're going to see if we can get to the bottom of this. I'm going to ring the rocket.
Fiona Byrne said he's going to come back.
Phoebe. Anyhow, the article in the Daily Mail said that a bitter feud had torn the podcast asunder. And it said, and Sam Newman, ever listen to this, Sam Newman, this is the second blow for Sam Newman this year. The first was when his wife died.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, when, that's slow.
Well, how would you equate that with the rocket leaving the podcast? And it said, this was my second blow for the year. Seriously. And then it
what
said...
What about your ankle? That'd be the third, wouldn't it?
Then it said, I launched a tirade against... This is the rocket made this up, incidentally. Remember when we had the hot dog eating championships in America and a trans... He said a transgender man pretended he was a woman and won the women's hot dog eating competition. He made that up, but I thought he was serious. And I said, well, the woman would have a better chance of eating a hot dog than a man, if you know what I mean. You know,
it was just Can you
explain
that?
When you put a sausage in your mouth, Don, probably women are better doing it.
A woman would be better than a man?
It was a throwaway line because the rocket said a transgender person. Well, the Daily Mail said I launched into a tirade about transgender people. It was just a throwaway line, Don. I thought it was humorous. And then they said, and I'd also been called a bully by someone called Miss Green, who I said, this was a long time ago, I was a bully because I said transgender men shouldn't pretend they're women and then play women's sport. How is that being a bully? That's that's an opinion I have that is shared by many, many people around the world, that men shouldn't pretend they're women and then try and play women's sport.
And Miss Green helped you there, did she?
Miss Green said I was a bully and I was transphobic or homophobic or something ending in ick. I was transphobic. This is the Daily Mail. This is they just have a nodding acquaintance with the truth.
Hang on. I think you're being a bit hard.
On the Daily Mail.
Well, what about the article in the... They're just picking up from the Sunday paper.
I haven't got the tuna reference to Miss Wilkinson.
Well, you didn't read... So you don't read the papers, but I was very interested in Miss Wilkinson.
Mrs. Wilkinson.
No, it's Miss. Miss.
What's her pronouns?
M-I-S-S. Miss.
No, she and her, is she? She's not thou, thou, thus and them, is
anyway,
it?
Anyway, her story was also in the Sunday Herald Sun.
Okay, and it said
how
what?
How she had a frosty departure from Channel 9 from Carl Stefanovic. So I was interested.
From Carl?
Yes, and how it just wasn't, she had got uneasy feeling.
Did Carl
feeling.
Ring her while she was buying tuna?
Uneasy feeling. Things just weren't. She just couldn't put it all together. You know how eventually the round pigs go into the round holes? For a while they're round pigs
done?
Going into square holes. But eventually the round holes...
Are we still talking about Carl and Lisa?
Yes. Yeah, anyway, it all worked out for Lisa at the end when she got the phone call.
Well, that's a bit like the rocket. So, I'm going to ring the rocket, and I'll tell you what, if we could
he's
possibly...
A bit precious. Don't upset
don't
him.
Say that.
He is.
Don, he's not... We haven't got... I'm not sure he'll take the call for a start, because he'll know we're doing this, and he'll know we might be setting up. We won't be setting him up, because as soon as we ring him, if he answers the phone, we'll say, you're on air, because we're obliged by law to say you can't just ring someone up and pretend that it's a private call.
Okay.
But, Don, this is a bit like the tuna buying saga with Lisa and the rocket. The rocket's got the brace and bits, and I'm okay with him now. And
you're okay.
I thought I might get some. I tell you what, I thought I might do.
You upset a lot of people. Then you go around.
I do.
Yes, and then you go around building up bridges or trying to repair them.
Building up bridges
or trying to repair the bridges.
It's a mixed metaphor, that, Don. Well. So Don. So. What I was trying to do is I was going to ring the rocket. I was going to get a shop fitter. Now, listen to this. I thought I might get a shop fitter in to build a partition. If this would get the rocket back and he could build either a soundproof booth for you to sit in. So
hang on. Whoa. I've had nothing to do with it. I'm the innocent party. You are deflecting the blame.
I'm telling you, Don, if the rocket's problem is you... If that's his problem,
How can it be me if I don't speak to him?
That's you've answered your own question, Don. If you're trying to get
He's
on
got
with
a problem
people,
with you.
If you communicate with people, if you don't speak to people, hardly can you get on with them. So I thought I might get a shop fitter in to build either a soundproof booth for you to sit in, or put a screen up so he doesn't have to look at you. He, when I suggested this to him, said he doesn't mind looking at you. He doesn't want to hear you. And I thought, well, we'll put you in a soundproof booth, like the Cone of Silence, Maxwell Smart. And the rocket and I can sit here and we can have headphones on and listen to you when you've
what
got...
What about your mouth? What are you going to do about it?
Hmm?
What are you going to do about your mouth?
What's that mean?
Well, you called him a panel operator.
Well...
That really set him off.
That was a throwaway line.
Well, we had a throwaway line before that cost us a lot of money.
Anyhow, but I'm going to ring him. Anyhow, just before we do, and while this man who you've brought in is sitting beside you here, we'll get on to him in a minute. We'll get on to him in a minute, Don. But I just wanted to... So we've had the audio fixed by our very good friend Rob, who is from Audio... Audio Visual Concept, isn't he? What's he called?
Concept Audio Visual.
Concept Audio Visual. CAV? Concept Audio Visual or Audio Contra Audio.
Concept Audio.
Okay. Well, we had Rob in who fixed up the sound, and a bloke called Mick Foot texted on my social media, and this is what Mick said. I can't fucking, F-U-C-K-E-N, I can't fucking hear you. So, Mick, I'm now saying I hope you can fucking hear us now because we fixed the audio from Concept Audio Visual. Tomsy, who I met, this is true. Tomsy, I went to get a coffee and this bloke on a bike came up and he was sort of giggling, laughing, and I said... Because it looks a bit silly if you're giggling on your own when there's no one around. People think you're an idiot. And I said, what's going on, mate? He said, are you Sam? And I said, yeah. He said, I'm just listening to you about the gerbil.
Hey, we've got a gerbil.
I know you've got a gerbil, Don. We'll get on to that in a minute. He said, I'm listening about the gerbil and Kiki, who had it stuck up his ort, and they were trying to get it out by lighting a match. He said, I'm listening to that. So he was listening to the podcast while he's riding his bike. And I said, Tomsy, I'll give you a shout out, which I've done.
Rex reckons he nearly drove off the off Beach Road into the bay when he heard about the gerbil.
We're not talking about the gerbil.
Shout out the people who made the gerbil down at Hastings Produce.
They made the gerbil?
They made a mock-up of a gerbil. I don't know whether they're going to go into the breeding or selling of gerbils.
And they've got it in a toilet roll.
Beg your pardon?
They've got it in that round cardboard, the cardboard tube that Kiki Farnham stuck up his partner's coit. To retrieve the gerbil, they've made a...
And it's come with instructions.
We'll put it on the video when we do it.
Right,
now, Don.
Keep your flames and farts apart on one side, and then
Don,
it's got
please,
Armageddon.
Please, I don't know who's sitting beside you. This is our guest. I'm not sure why he's here, but don't put him off before we get him on, all right? Now, thirdly, I cook foods. People think, we get onto a bit of a theme and then we just drop off it because I cook foods. This is, they're going to the next level, I cook foods.
Good.
They are going to engage one of the top barristers in the country. maybe the world, to get this, finally bring this to a head, because they are being snowed.
Why a barrister?
Well, a lawyer, a barrister?
No,
a
barrister does the talking. Remember we had
He's going
one
to do
those?
The talking. He's going to take the government to court. Like, this is a civil matter now. This has gone far enough. They have so many people saying they've been corrupted out of their business that they're going to the next level. I can't mention who the barrister is, but he would be well known. And
Geoffrey Robertson.
I said I can't mention
his
name.
Okay, well, I'm asking.
Well,
questions.
If I can't
how
mention his
know?
Name, how would it, if you say it's
I'm just thinking
Frank Swanson, I could it's Frank, and then you'll say, well, you weren't going to mention his name. It's I'm not mentioning who it is because not yet until I get the okay from iCook Foods. But we are going to see through this through to its logical conclusion that he has been dishonestly rorted out
what
of his business.
What happened last time at VCAT?
Yes.
What happened there? They went to get
Then the police weren't allowed to give evidence because the government stopped them doing it. So
are they allowed now to interview those policemen?
I don't know. This is the next level that this top barrister is going to do. So we're just going to keep you updated on that. So that I'm just covering off a few things. Now, you said I have my foot's sore and I'm whinging about it. I'm not whinging about it, only off air, not on air. But Mark Brayshaw sent me some medical marijuana cream because he is of Leaven Health, which is his company. It's an Australian-owned medical marijuana company.
We've had him on the podcast.
I know. I was telling our listener who he is and why I was rubbing the medical marijuana cream on my foot, hoping it will dissipate the pain.
Is it?
It sort of is, yes. But I'm just saying
Why don't you take a few drops on your tongue?
Well, the cream?
No, of the juice or whatever it is. What do you call it? The marijuana oil.
Yeah, oil. It's medical marijuana. Yeah, anyhow, so I'm just
telling
you.
Why don't you just smoke a joint?
Why don't I just smoke a joint? Well, that's what the medical marijuana is. It has the actual toxins out of it that make you high or stop you from driving a car. Mind you, not sure if you get pulled up driving a car, what would the story would be. You might be just weaving all over the road and they'll say, have you been smoking a joint? No, I've been taking the medical marijuana oil. Or why are you driving down the nature strip? I said, I didn't realise I was. So, no, that's not right. So Mark Brayshaw, the Leaven Health is very good and I've been using that on my fingers.
Well, is it working?
Yeah, on my fingers it is because I've got a little bit of arthritis in the fingers. So there,
Don.
So before we get on to the man who's patiently sitting here beside us, I'm going to put a call into the rocket and I'm going to find out what's going on. And put your headphones on. This mightn't go over that well, but we'll see how we're going.
Well, where are my headphones, Jack?
Well, I'd put them on, Don. Have I got? I'm using yours, am I?
You're probably using mine.
Well, where are your headphones?
I don't know.
Have you got my phone, Don? There are your headphones. There, aren't they?
No. Right. I've got you now.
Here we are. Now, this is us trying to. This is why the panel operator we called Rocket, the panel operator.
Hello.
Now I'm obliged to tell you by law that you are you're on the podcast, so you can swear if you like and hang up, but if you could stay on the line, I want to ask you a couple of questions, Rocket.
What do you want?
Right, okay. Well, don't be too...
There's not much enthusiasm.
Shut up, Don.
There's no enthusiasm.
Don, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to get... we've been inundated with requests for the Rocket to come back on.
The betting's shortened.
Don, will you please...
It was out to 50 to 1. It's into 3 to 1 now.
Don, please be quiet. The Rocket vacated the premise, and we've done that. We've said why he did, and there was an article in the paper that said that the podcasts have been blown to the shit house because of the departure of the executive producer, Rodney Law. Which
I'm not.
No, we've already stated that, Rod, because we don't have...
Yeah, I just want that clear. I don't set the agenda. You set the agenda. Don disrupts it, and I used to try to make sense of it.
So we had a bit of a lover's tiff, if you like, Rocket, because of what statements...
Content.
I didn't quite portray why the Rocket wasn't here to his satisfaction. We've tidied that up, but Don, I think probably the stumbling block, just reading between the lines, is you. The Rocket, Rocket, would that be fair to say that you're not coming back to the podcast until Don either dies or suffers a mental illness and we've got to put him into a facility? Is that vaguely true?
Yeah, but...
What? Yeah, that is true.
I've got a new job.
A new job?
Don't shout, Don. Oh. Don.
We've been waiting 2 years for this.
I'm moving to Sydney.
Now, there was a reason. He's the leak.
What?
He's the leak.
I'm going to co-host Fordo's breakfast show.
Well, I thought you'd be the executive producer of his show.
Shut up, Don. He's telling you what he's going to Sydney
for. How can you be an executive producer of a podcast?
You let that article go.
I'll tell you what, we can't stop you speaking to him now. Be quiet for a minute. Rocket, you're going to Sydney for what reason?
I'm going to co-host Fordo's breakfast show with him.
Oh, I thought he was coming down here to replace you.
I thought he was going to come down and replace me.
So, Rocket, the thing that you got... Now, so, it said that the bitter feud between you and I has torn the podcast apart. And then it went on to say that I made a disgraceful comment about a hot dog eating competition, which you said a transgender woman won, and I just made that line, well, she'd have a better chance of knowing how to eat a hot dog than a bloke. And you said you made that up, and that's what got me into trouble.
I was trying to be funny because we were talking about that... weightlifter at the time that trans from
male to
female. So I was joking that this woman couldn't make it in the male hot dog eating competition, so she transgendered to female. It was a joke.
Yes,
and now the poor woman has been labelled something she's not. I mean,
I've been accused of launching a tirade. And been called transphobic and transphobic, because I was just acting on your lie for a start and trying to be humorous. So that's anyhow, right. So we'll just rock it. I know you're a busy man because you're on the getting your plane ticket and your suitcase packed to go up to.
What about the dogs?
Pardon?
The dogs.
The dogs.
Will they be going?
Well, Don.
They'll get the green dream.
The what?
The what?
The green dream.
What's that?
I'm joking, putting them down. I'm kidding.
What's green dream mean?
You know, the injection they give them to put them down.
Oh, I see. Euthanize them, would you?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Why don't you euthanize yourself and send the dogs in here? Now, Rocket, listen to me. Listen to me, Rocket. I'm getting to the bottom of this. It's you and Don have the problem, isn't it? And is that why you're not coming back to the... Well, I reckon you'll be back if we can work out how you can get on with Don. Don, could I ask you something while we got the Rocket? Could you possibly step out of character and say to the Rocket, please, mate,
You just heard, get fucked.
You're saying that to me?
Yeah.
Or the Rocket?
I don't care.
You're telling me to get fucked?
Yeah.
Just a minute, Don, please. What's wrong with you?
You wonder why.
I'm on your side, Rock. Don, don't tell me to get fucked. I'm trying to see if we can get another man here who is the voice of reason so that
only reason you want him back is that Jack's pissed off with you, your son. He doesn't want to be the panel operator.
The Rocket is not the panel operator. I'm learning how to do the panel. Jack is going to instruct me and tell me how to work.
But he never turns up. He's out running all the time.
Don, I'm asking you before... Rocket, we'll let you go in a minute. I'm asking you this again, Don. And I'll tell you what, I'll punch you in the head if you say... I'm saying to you, could you ask the Rocket pleasantly over the phone, over this medium now, could you say... Rod, I don't know if you don't know what... Would it be possible for you to Don't you touch anything. Jack, if you touch anything, I'll knock you out. Don't touch it. Don, would it be possible to step out of character and say to the Rocket, mate, come back. I think we can get on. Please come. Could you say that for me? Don?
Cricket. Hit the cricket.
What?
Hit the cricket.
Yeah, just cricket. If I played the crickets every time Don had nothing to say, it'd sound like a cacophony of a wildlife show, this. All you'd hear is crickets.
So anyway, there they are. Can I ask you a question?
On what basis would you come back if Don what? Lifted his game or what?
Died.
Okay. That's a bit extreme.
Don, that was a joke after you said, remember when you said that you wouldn't give a shit if I died? Remember that? That was a joke. I was talking about. Hey.
Yes?
I read in the paper today that you're having a secret room put into your apartment.
Oh, no.
What's all that about?
What about
that? Is that for your gimp?
What?
Is that for your gimp?
Yeah, what about that? That Shane Warne and I have bought these places down at the St. Moritz, the Tim Gurner project, which is awfully good. I'm just not actually part of it. And there's a secret room. I don't know, a secret room off an ante room. I'm not sure what you do there. Do snuff movies or what would you do in the secret room, Rocket?
You'd probably bore a hole in the wall, wouldn't you? You would. And look at what's going on in the other room.
It's my apartment. Why would I bore a hole in the wall of my apartment when I've got... What are you talking about, Don? Rocket?
On the agenda? What's on the agenda? Don wants to talk horses, you're going to do anti-vax, and then what?
Well, I've got a whole lot of things about anti-vaxxers, and I was going to mention something about Donald Trump, who it is conclusive evidence that he was rorted out of the election, and I can't do it because unless I have you there to say this is bullshit and me just tell you the facts of why I say this, Don doesn't even know who Donald Trump is.
I was going to talk about Vangelis, the fire restrictions.
Rocket? Don's, I think, is warming to you. And if you could possibly decide, when can we expect you'll make a return?
No, I've got to go.
What?
I've got to take my flight.
What are you going to do?
Go and meet Porto.
Rocket, Don, one last chance. Could you say goodbye, or it's nice to hear you speak? Could you say something like along those lines, Don, just as we depart, seeing as we're trying to have a convivial chat here between three people that have made this podcast, get 5 million downloads. He was part of it.
We've done 5 million.
So he was part of it. So say, Rocket, we look forward to...
We've done 5 million.
What's it, Rocket?
How are you feeling, though? You've churned through me, Mick Sheehan and Tomo.
Tomo was good. No, Tomo was all right. I came in dressed as a woman once, and you nearly
bankrupted him.
Oh yeah, no. Since I left, he's made $120 million on his software thing that he had with the bank. Done well getting rid of me. But Don's, you've seen Mick Sheehan and the Rocket off, Don. You have through your rigid and disgraceful personality of being so rude and clinical. You have no spark.
This is riveting.
Righto, Rocket. We'll see you next week.
Can't wait.
What?
You can't wait.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Don, for that. The only thing I asked you to do is when I said, could you say, I hope he'll come back, and you said, get fucked. No, we're not going. We're going to go on here now, speaking to this man.
Well, we do three segments, and this is the first segment. It's finished.
Don't you tell me what we're doing, Don. I'm running this.
I know you are. It's your show. Everything revolves around you.
No, well, I was going to get on to then about the COVID. And you can introduce who is sitting beside you. I'll introduce who's sitting beside you because there is more discussion and more conspiracy theories about what's going on with the COVID. There is two distinct bands of discussion. One is that they say the COVID injection and the vaccine is the bee's knees and everyone should have it. And there's a hell of a lot of people, whether you think it's a conspiracy or not, that think it is a con and it's not necessary. And there are two schools of thought. The school of thought where they say it's not necessary and it's a bit of a con never gets printed because there's a vested interest in the media pushing the narrative that the vaccine is very important, and it probably is, but there's be some restrictions. And the man beside you is, I'll tell you who he is and you can tell me why he's here. His name's Robbie Peterson. He played football for North Melbourne. He... at 16 and just a few months, was the youngest North Melbourne debutant ever to play for the North Melbourne, the Kangaroos. He played 79 games from 1968 to 1974, I think it says here. He kicked, and I was played in this game, he kicked 7 goals against Geelong at Arden Street in 1971. I played in that game.
Why didn't you knock him out? You usually did from behind.
Well, he was a rover. He was too quick for me.
No, but you usually snuck up behind someone and whacked from behind.
Yes.
You could have caught him.
I would have
been in your vicinity being a ruckman.
He then, anyhow, pursued a medical career after his football career. And I've got a feeling this is why he's in here. I'm looking at him now, and you're going to take this over because you're going to tell me why he is actually in here, Don. Welcome, Robbie, to the podcast. You cannot be serious.
Thanks, Sam.
Don.
And just adding to his football,
no,
his two brothers also played for North Melbourne.
We're not interested
and
in his brothers.
He also is probably the last footballer. It'll be interesting because somebody could come along. But he actually grew up and lived in North Melbourne.
Right.
And probably the last player to do so.
Tell us why he's in here.
Robbie's here because, well, Robbie, you just got an interesting theory. Well, you know, it's an interesting talk and about this
he's
COVID.
He's an anti-vaxxer, isn't he?
Well, no, I'm not.
Right.
No, he's
Thank
not.
Thank you, Robbie.
No,
at least we've got... I've got you started. Don's just rambling. Go ahead.
No, no, he's not an anti-vaxxer. He's been vaccinated and everything. But there is a but. Can we go on with that, Rob?
Well, I'm...
Tell us why your medical background, please.
Okay, well, I finished my course when I was 22, and that was in 1974, so that was the end of my footy career.
Yep.
And I then worked at Royal Perth Hospital for a couple of years, went up after that to the Royal Flying Doctor Service in Port Hedland, and then went back and worked at Panch Hospital... as one of the supervisors in the casualty department, and then I've spent the last 40 years being a GP in Seymour.
So you would be aware... No, so you're not an anti-vaxxer, so I'm glad...
No, well, I've been vaccinated myself
right.
with AstraZeneca.
So but is it true to say, Robbie, that you think that not everyone needs to be vaccinated for some clinical and medical reasons, which... probably are not popular in some sections of the community, the medical fraternity, but in others they are. And I can give you a chapter and verse about the people who push back on mandatory vaccinations, and people say, no, everyone's got to be in it and all that sort of stuff. So what is your position?
Well, for starters, I'm very concerned about the kids under the age of 20, the teenagers and younger, because basically they've got the best all-round immunity to any body can have, and we know worldwide that the only people under the age of 20 that have died have had major health problems. We also know that if...
Underlying health problems.
Correct.
Yep.
And one of them including severe obesity, but apart from that, underlying medical health problems. We also know that kids, if they get the illness, it's exceptionally mild. Some kids, it might be just a sniffle. Others don't even know that they've got it. We know that they are very poor transmitters. And this is really a very major point of contention with regards to masks, et cetera, in schools.
Okay. So the obvious question, Robbie, I think for me anyhow, the obvious question is, what does it matter if... What does it matter if people under 20 get vaccinated? What, if you say they are in a very low risk of getting the disease or dying from it or spreading it or whatever, what does it matter if they get vaccinated anyhow?
Well, going back to square one, you know, vaccines are out there for a reason, and that's obviously to stop COVID infection. And, you know, you size up a vaccine by being how safe it is and how effective it is. And what we've had with these vaccines, they've been sort of released under emergency authority, and they're actually only studied for 6 months. Now, the normal period of developing a vaccine and following all the potential side effects, etc., is between 5 and 10 years. So the question's got to be, you know, are they safe? And what's coming out is that the guy that developed the messenger RNA vaccine, now the messenger RNA is the Pfizer and the Moderna, so the guy that developed this is a guy by the name of Dr. Robert Malone.
Hang on, how can he work for two companies?
No, he's not working for two companies.
Right.
No, what I'm saying is that the Pfizer and Moderna use this messenger RNA technology. Now, he was the man that developed the messenger RNA technology. He's got nothing to do with the companies. In addition to him, there's a man that's been involved in development of vaccines for 30 years. So he's been right into developing vaccine. His name's Geert Van den Bosch. And then we have Mark Yaden, who was the chief scientist for Pfizer for 16 years. Now, the three of them have all come out and said they have grave concerns about the messenger RNA, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and their long-term effects. Now, what we do know, which unfortunately hasn't received any publicity in Australia for various reasons, I believe, in America, they've got an organisation called VAERS, and that stands for Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, and that's there by the government. Now, they themselves have actually released a figure of 12,500 deaths from vaccines. In addition, there's been a whistleblower within VAERS, and there's a current court case going on where this whistleblower says that the figure wasn't 12,500, it was 45,000. They've also said, and they've openly admitted, that in addition, there's been 200,000 life-threatening situations, there's been 200,000 people with long-term disabilities, and there's been 800,000 hospitalised from vaccines.
So, yeah, but could there be a pre-existing ailment in each of these cases?
Okay, well, now we get to a woman who's got 4 degrees, and her name's Dr. Jessica Rose. She's from Canada. She's got a PhD in biology, and she's an analyst, and all she does full-time is analyse the VAERS reports. Now, she has addressed exactly what you're saying, and she's basically come up with the fact that it gets worse. She's saying, according to her analysis and her mathematical analysis, she's saying these figures could be up to 30 times even greater.
So Robbie, this was reported in the New York Post about a nurse called Tiffany Dover,
yep,
who was a Tennessee nurse, and she was trotted out to promote the vaccine. And 15 minutes after she had the shot, the vaccine, she fainted and she died that day. The people who gave her the shot, this is what was reported in the New York Post, they covered it up, they paid off the family, and they didn't admit to thousands of other people dying from the vaccine injection. They said, and then this was reported, that this is a soft kill bioweapon. It's a synthetic pathogen, and it's maiming and killing thousands of people that doesn't get reported. Now, I read that in the New York Post, and you think, well, that's a conspiracy theory, but it's not mainstream media publishing this for either political or some other reason. And they said that not only are thousands of people dying from it, but this has the potential to kill hundreds of millions of people, this vaccine program that's going on now. people will say, what are you talking about? And how irresponsible to say that. But there's too many examples of this. I'm wondering why people put this out if there's not some validity or some credence to any of these statements.
Getting back to what I said before, Sam, Dr. Malone, Dr. Van den Bosch, and we have Dr. Yaden. Now, these guys are some of the greatest scientists in the world. To explain what you have suggested, I'll try and make it very simple. The vaccine, which is a genetic-altering vaccine, so these messenger RNA, the Pfizer and the Moderna, when you're injected with this vaccine, your body, because of the alteration of the genes, produces a specific antibody to the one virus. And the one virus was, in fact, the first UK COVID virus. Now, what happens is your body becomes a factory to produce the one antibody to that virus. Now, we're now four strains down the road. So the antibody does have some marginal effect. It's nowhere near as effective as what it was to the original virus. However, because of the genetic alteration, your body continues just to produce the same antibody. And their worry is that when we get further mutating strains, the further the mutating strains go down the road, the less effective the vaccine's going to be. And in fact, because of the genetic alteration and your ability to only manufacture the one antibody, your natural immunity to produce antibodies to different strains is going to be stopped, and it's going to be overriding the natural autoimmune system. And this is the grave worry with kids, because we have kids who are already got the best all-rounder antibody production ability. We give them this vaccine, we're going to reduce their all-round ability and make them vulnerable to future strains, when in actual fact, under normal circumstances, their great all-round antibody formation would work.
So Robbie, here's the conundrum or the dilemma. If we were to post this on Facebook, what you've said and what I read out then about Tiffany Dover, put it on YouTube, we would be taken off or banned.
It wouldn't even get there.
It wouldn't get there. And if we tried to put it on Instagram or Twitter or...
Wouldn't get there.
Because it's fact-checked by people who have a vested interest to shore up the other opinion that everyone should be vaccinated. But people who have... There's millions of people in America, millions of people who have had COVID and recovered from it, and they say they are 30 times less likely to get it because their immune system has dealt with it clinically in the first place without having an injection. Why should they be mandated to be vaccinated?
Well, they shouldn't. What you're saying is absolutely right.
But so then it gets to the stage then a government, any government, this government here in Victoria or Australia or world governments say, you're going to have a passport. They're going to make sure that they tell you what you should do with your body, and to get into a pub, to a restaurant, to get on a plane, to do anything, you're going to have to show that you... I went into the hospital the other day and they said, have you been vaccinated? I had to... I have been. I had to... I said, you have really no right to ask me that. But they say, we have a right to ask you because the government says that's law.
But that's under state of emergency.
That's how they get round it, isn't it?
Premier Andrews is trying to extend the state of emergency indefinitely. Well, I mean, that's outrageous. He actually said himself, I mean, just yesterday, that, you won't be able to go anywhere unless you're vaccinated, and if you're going to wait us out thinking that we'll change our view, you're grossly wrong. Well,
what he's working on is, and this is what Fiona Patton is worried about and has tweeted, that he's working on a pandemic, state of emergency runs out, I think, in December. He wishes to bring in another act or law or whatever, the pandemic thing, whatever you want to call it, that continues on, similar to having this state of emergency.
Correct. Now, look, what Dr. Malone and the chaps I mentioned before, they proposed way back in March that if their theory was right with regards to this specific antibody issue and when there were changing strains, we're going to see potential trouble with new variants. And what we've seen is exactly what they predicted in Israel, Iceland, and recently in the last few weeks in Singapore. And what's happened is these countries which have had huge numbers of vaccination, these countries have had their biggest outbreaks, and 85% of the people that have been hospitalised and got sick have been double vaxxed. 85%. So they're suggesting that with each subsequent vaccine of the Pfizer and the Moderna, your chances of being susceptible to future mutations is going to get greater and greater.
Yeah, well, that's only common sense though, Robbie. I mean,
well, it's not.
Well, the flu, for example, there's various strains of flu. Now, you get an injection, you know, and they've got to continually update the vaccine.
Yeah, but they're not updating the change in the vaccine. The thing is that the messenger RNA, remember, changes your genetics, and it's there, bang, gone.
So you're saying like the vaccine for flu doesn't change your genetics or
not
doesn't have...
Not at all. It doesn't work that way. The flu vaccine works on the old principle of injecting dead virus, whereas this is... How this works is you inject it with a gene-altering set of genetic code, and your body then produces the spike protein, and your body then produces the one antibody to this spike protein. So it's there. You can't change it. Now, what there is, there's a vaccine which, in my mind and a lot of overseas doctors' minds, is the hope of the side, and that's Novavax, because it's not based on this genetic altering technology.
So this is coming out. Novavax is coming out.
Well, it's available, but you know, when it actually passes everything, although I believe it has passed everything in the FDA, I believe, and a large number of medicos around the world, in Australia, believe that the Novavax certainly is the way to go down the road.
So, to put this while you're here in context. You said you're not an anti-vaxxer.
No, I've been vaccinated with AstraZeneca.
Was that
due to... It's not a messenger RNA vaccine. No.
So to put into context why you're here, you're saying you're pushing back on the fact that it should everyone should be just a mandate to be vaccinated. It's not necessary. And can you say why you're saying that it's been proven to it has not been proven to be safe and there is more side effects to it? Is that the reason you're saying?
Oh, absolutely, with regards to in particular
why everyone should not just get vaccinated as a course.
Well, no,
matter of course.
That's not true. Look, we know and we've known for a long time that 90% of people that die from COVID are people over the age of 70 with multiple comorbidities. Now, of the remainder, the vast majority of those under 70 have also got comorbidities who die.
COVID, what do you mean? COVID? What?
Well, they might
underlying
have
health
heart,
problems.
Underlying health problems.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
The heart, severe diabetes.
Yeah, right.
So, Robbie, what does it matter if someone says, I'll get vaccinated and I can still get COVID, but it won't be as severe as someone who hasn't got COVID. Is that like being a little bit pregnant, or is that a reasonable thing to say? If you've been vaccinated, you won't get as sick as someone who hasn't been.
That is the case at the moment. But as I suggested before, down the road, when we get new mutations and new strains, you're going to be at a disadvantage. And that's already been seen, as I mentioned.
Yeah, but they'll update the vaccines, though, won't they?
Well, we don't know.
And that means you just have to keep going and getting them and topping them up and getting the new...
Well, it's not much good getting the same one if it's not going to work against the new variant.
The messenger RNA ones have changed your genetics and it's in place.
Hey, listen, over the weekend, Rob, I just did some work. 163 cases, I think it was Saturday, might have been Sunday... in ICU. Now, 96% of those people weren't vaccinated.
Correct.
So they really should be vaccinated, shouldn't they? Like, if you don't get vaccinated, there is a chance you finish up in ICU.
Absolutely. If, in particular, you're in that group that we talked about. What's not being clarified is when they announce, you know, situations like that, they're not announcing, which they should be, how many of these people have comorbidities.
Yes.
We never hear that.
But if people do have comorbidities or underlying health problems, wouldn't it be better if they'd had the vaccine?
Absolutely.
It might be that's a counter-argument to what you just said, is it not?
No, my argument is with regards to messenger RNA, I'm only going on what the chief scientists around the world are and what the statistics are saying. Certainly, in the long term, there's no doubt at this point in time with the variants that we've had, absolutely they should have it, and absolutely all those risk groups, the 90% and then the comorbidity people, absolutely they should have it. But with regards to the teenagers and below,
yes,
there's more risk of them having problems from being vaccinated than what's going to happen to them normally.
I see. So that has been clinically studied, and that is data.
Absolutely.
It's backing that up.
Absolutely.
So, Robbie, as we finish this...
Well, I got...
No, just... It's all right. You can, but as I... So, what would your state... What are you saying to us and the people that listen to this podcast? What are you saying now about... What are you saying about the of what's going on in the country, the state, the world, regarding vaccines?
Okay. Well,
what is your message?
My message is I think people should look up Dr. Robert Malone, Geert van den Bosch, and Dr. Mark Yaden. Don't look them up by going Google Chrome. That's been proven to be fairly highly censored, as you were mentioning before with regards to YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah, they fact check you on the basis of their facts.
Correct.
Yep.
And so if you need to go... via an alternative platform where you can look up all the research and what they have to say, and then you make your own decision. What I will say is, though, that the all-round and non-genetic vaccine, Novavax, is a real answer. There is one other thing which I'd like to bring up, which is something which...
Sorry, go ahead.
There's something which is really very significant, and the minute I say this, credibility, etc., is going to be compromised, and that is that, well, what's the alternative between now and when Novavax becomes available? Well, the alternative is the horse paste, ivermectin.
Yep.
Now...
The horse paste?
Yes.
Yeah, and while it's been...
I give that to my horses.
Yes,
but... Yeah, that's right. This has been a propaganda war for...
It has, because doctors have actually medically and clinically prescribed it, and it's nothing to do with the taking it off the horse.
No, it's been around for 50 years,
yes,
and it's been proven and given medically to patients, and it's absolutely...
Why is it given to humans?
Well, it was given to humans for scabies and for certain types of parasitic infections, and it's been done that for 50 years. In Africa, in actual fact, there's a parasite that's in the rivers that causes river blindness, and a large number of the African population have been on ivermectin to stop that. And interestingly enough... The amount of COVID that's occurred in these African communities who've been on ivermectin is significantly lower. But what we've had probably the greatest experiment in world history in India. And in India, from May, we had a situation where, well, just in the biggest state, and the biggest state is a state called Uttar Pradesh, 240 million people, they were having 300,000 cases a day, and they decided in desperation to give ivermectin to the community. Well, as of first week in September, they've got 100 cases a day and zero deaths. Now, in the state of Delhi were desperate. They were having 230,000 cases a day. they decided to hand out ivermectin packets to people, and within 5 weeks, they went from 230,000...
What, deaths or cases?
Cases, huge number of deaths, down to 500 in the space of 5 weeks. Now, there are...
Could I say something there? Also, I'm just going through the cost of this. You know, like I give this ivermectin to the horse, and it costs nothing, maybe $10, $5 to $10 a shot. You know, I buy it in a bottle. So how much would giving, what is it, AstraZeneca or one of these Robbie, shots cost?
Well, this is the bottom line, isn't it, that the drug companies...
Hang on, Johnny.
No, but this is it's along your what you're saying. The drug companies have monopolised what they think is the antidote for this virus, and in discarding all the other things that might not make them the bottom line, which is the profit. Billions of dollars they're making.
Okay, so there's been over 30 studies around the world that have shown, and these are independent studies, that have shown that ivermectin works. Now, the TGA, who advised the Australian government, they based their decision on ivermectin as of no use. They used an organisation called the Cochrane Review. And the Cochrane Review, one review that they based their decision on banning ivermectin, surprisingly, was sponsored by Big Pharma. Now, ivermectin is dirt cheap. You can probably get a full course in Australia per person for $6. At the moment, the very first COVID drug which was put forward was 50% efficiency compared to ivermectin, 85-90% efficiency, was from Merck. And Merck were going to sell that at $700 a course.
Now, what's that? One shot?
No, tablets. These are tablets to treat the COVID drug. But the Merck proposition, which hasn't been taken up by the Australian government, surprisingly, the Australian government's gone down the Pfizer pathway.
Well, how much is the Pfizer shot costing?
We don't know, but as I said, the Merck was going to charge $700. I would imagine the Pfizer will be $400,
$500. Okay, can I ask you a couple of questions? Well, hang on. I'm not questioning, but these are the questions. You're a GP. There is snob value. Now, what about epidemiologists and specialists? Now, I know there's snob value. Why should we listen to you, Rob?
Well, in fact, I can tell you one thing released last week. The European Journal of Epidemiologists, so this is a journal covering all the epidemiologists in Europe, last week, in their journal, they put out a report having analysed 69 countries around the world, and they have said that now there are more people presenting with COVID illness who've been vaccinated compared to those who haven't been vaccinated.
Now, can I ask another, playing devil's advocate here? Well, you just said earlier you've retired. Would you have been outspoken as what you have today if you were still employed?
Absolutely.
You'd still be as outspoken as you are today. You wouldn't have been facing the medical board and being sanctioned?
That still might happen because I'm still actually registered, but I'm not practising. This is probably the most significant threat we have, the Earth's faced as a whole. We have a situation where we're having experimental vaccines, which has been suggested, and it's certainly the statistics seem to think that the messenger RNA vaccines are causing major damage. Going back to square one, in the past, throughout history, if a vaccine has 50 deaths throughout the world, they pulled it. 50 deaths around the world, they pulled the vaccine.
Okay.
And here we are. We're talking about potentially hundreds of thousands of people, according to Dr. Jessica Rose, who've died in America, and we've got all these terrible side effects, and yet we're still going down this pathway.
So you're saying, Robbie, there's not much more we can do about this.
Well, I'd like to ask one personal question.
Well, I'm just a minute. You're saying that I'm trying to get out, trying to find out what the relevance of you being. It is very relevant because I. You're saying that the general public have swallowed this narrative hook, line and sinker without doing any research into what it might do to their ongoing health problems and their future by taking this vaccine, are you? Or what are you? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is, sadly, the information that I've just revealed has not been given to the general public, and so they have gone down the pathway that it's been put forward to them.
Why hasn't it been given to the general public? Because the governments around the world have a vested interest in propping up Big Pharma or what? Why isn't it reported?
It's certainly a possibility, I would think, given the fact that the data that's come out with regards to, well, ivermectin and also what has occurred recently in Israel, Singapore, Iceland, Gibraltar, what these very, very reputable scientists have suggested is unfolding in front of our eyes.
Have we lost sight of the fact that this virus was created in, by all accounts, in a Wuhan lab in China and released, this pandemic released on a world scale? Have we lost sight of the fact that that's where it's come from?
Without a shadow of doubt, that's a factor. But the other thing, Sam, is that when you compare in reality the figures with regards to the deaths compared to influenza and the flu, the deaths from COVID compared to the influenza and the flu, and the fact that we've locked down societies, crippling people financially, mentally scarring people, including children to a significant degree, affecting their education. Yep. And you compare the numbers with flu versus COVID, this, you know, and we knew who to protect, it's out of control.
Well, Don?
Yeah, one question, and it's personal. I've had my AstraZeneca. I went to the counter after I was given, and the chap behind the counter said, do you want to come back in 6 weeks or 12 weeks? Shit, what are you giving me an alternative for? I said, well, what's the difference? He said, well, if you come back in 12 weeks, it has a better effect. Now, why are they advertising 6 weeks and 12 weeks? And the other thing is, I had it months ago. There's another issue, but the way it's going, I'm going to be sanctioned if I go somewhere because I've only been, and I'm waiting for the second jab to have full effect, yet I'll be discriminated against when I walk into somewhere where you've got to be double vaxxed. Now, why is it 6 weeks? Why is it 12? Why do they give you an option on the same?
I think the answer to that was initially it was related to supply issues.
What?
I think so.
Bullshit.
Well, that's my feeling on it.
Of course that's right, Don.
Well, why would you
say? Because we couldn't get Pfizer because there wasn't enough of it, and so they relegated us blokes over 60 to saying you had to get something else we didn't have enough to give you.
So you're saying that this, well, I had AstraZeneca, I can go now in 6 weeks and it'll work fine, will it, the second?
Well, that's what they're saying, yes.
But he said it would work better if I waited 12 weeks.
I don't know whether the data's out on that.
Robbie Peterson, I knew there was another reason we got you in besides telling us about your football prowess and career and you kicked 7 goals in 1971 against Geelong at Arden Street. I knew there was another reason. It's a fascinating topic. There is so many diverse opinions, polarised opinions about what's going on. It is healthy to have a
discussion.
A discussion that very few people will have for a whole lot of reasons. You're almost considered a domestic terrorist if you have an adverse opinion about whether you should get vaxxed or not. So we appreciate you coming in, and people can listen to this and make their own mind up.
Can I say one final thing,
yes,
Don? Sam, with regards to what Don said, with regards to what it seems to be occurring overseas in Israel, Singapore, and we're in this dilemma about people having a booster, there is an answer. While we're waiting to get Novavax, what they've found with ivermectin in India, which they're still doing today, is if you take ivermectin twice a week, it in itself seems to be a very effective protector against the virus. So my sort of feeling would be, well, if we're waiting for Novavax, which is a very safe, non-genetic, non-Pfizer, Moderna vaccination, waiting for that, I can't see why people can't take ivermectin twice a week, covering everybody. I can't see why people who's refused or refusing to be vaccinated can't take ivermectin twice a week, knowing that it prevents contracting it. That's a really wonderful compromise in our society.
Robbie Peterson, Dr. Robbie Peterson, thank you very much for coming in and explaining all that to us.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. And I just, do you hear of Josh Rogan?
I have indeed.
He took ivermectin. It was prescribed by his doctor, and they had the medical representative from CNN. He was interviewing him, and they lied, CNN, about what he was taking and why he was taking it, and he ripped them to shreds and said, why have we got a news network called CNN that actually spreads lies about what's going on? It just seems it's a political thing because the government of the USA, run by a man who's talking about his mental acuity, Joe Biden, just says that everyone should be vaccinated, so they just back him up to the hilt without any discussion about why, what you're talking about, what might be in the public interest.
Look, there's hundreds of thousands of doctors around the world who are prescribing ivermectin, and they're censored right, left and centre, and in a lot of places you're threatened with deregistration if you go down.
Is that in Australia too?
Yeah, if you can't be talking about being anti-vax, otherwise you're gone.
That's it, Don. Thank you. Yeah, well done, Don. At least you brought someone in who made some sense.